Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Rhythm days.
Hello everyone, happy new year and welcome to the Rover Report Player Ratings podcast. My name is Anthony Waterson. I'm joined by Niall Bromley. How are we doing, mate?
I've just woken up, mate, to be honest. I've just had a nice 90 minutes sleep. I don't know about you, but I have just woken up. I feel fresh.
spot on. And also, player ratings experience of Malcolm Dugdale. How are we doing, buddy?
I'm good. Obviously, good to have the football back on, but sort of not like that. But we'll get into that a bit more later on. But yeah, I'm well, and that's the main thing at these challenging times, isn't it? You know. But yeah, nice to have a chat with you boys again after a couple of weeks off.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get straight into it. Why not? Sunderland have come off the back of a 0-0 draw away to Northampton Town. Not much has happened. Obviously, Sunderland's first game in 3 weeks, Niall, after the COVID outbreak. We didn't look match fit, did we? The players didn't particularly look match fit. Struggled on. We've got a draw. It's kind of, what are we? Are we expecting any more than that, really?
Yeah, it's hard to criticise, isn't it? I think it would be very harsh to kind of slate the team after that, because, like you say, they looked lethargic, didn't they? They looked not what they looked like, anywhere near what they looked like against Lincoln, which is what I would say was a fully fit Sunderland team. You know, they were nowhere near that level. They looked leggy all the way through. The organisation, everything was there, which is obviously a good thing. But, you know, to be honest, I think from the first sort of 10 minutes, you could see that there wasn't much energy in that team today. Really, it's half remarkable that they've ended up getting a point and keeping the clean sheet, because it was, yeah, it's one of them. But like I just touched on, yeah, I find it very difficult to criticise, because, you know, a lot of these players had COVID sort of 10 days ago. We just weren't ourselves at all.
Yeah, just touching on that again, Mel. I mean, we don't know. We haven't been privy to who has actually had the disease or anything like that. But, you know, there's still, you know, Will Grigg out, George Dobson out. You know, even if with injury, we've got Denver Hume, Luke O'Neill, Cal McFadgian. So there's still a lot of players missing from it. And, we don't know how long we've been training this week or anything like that. But a lot of the players on the pitch today did look very leggy, didn't we? So it's a little bit of a worry, considering we're missing another week next week with the Fleetwood game being off.
It is a bit of a worry, Ant, you're right, but it's also an opportunity, because that means we've kind of got a week and a half, maybe. When's it's the Papa John's Trophy game next, I think, isn't it? Which is probably midweek. You know, we've got a week and a half to try and, you know, get back into the groove. If you think about it, we were supposed to play Accrington on the 29th, and the academy was supposed to reopen 2 days before that, but we had to cancel or defer the Accrington game. So even if you assume they resume training on kind of Wednesday or Thursday, they've had 2 days, and half of them have still got a lung full of green stuff, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it is 2 points dropped, because we need to get our points average back up above two to have a chance of, you know, being in the top two. Should we have expected much more? Possibly not. We didn't lose, and I think we probably would have lost that game with some of our prior managers at the helm who aren't as attacking minded as Johnson is. So yeah, it's a difficult balancing act, having that period of downtime before this game and then to the next game. But I'm hopeful now that most of the squad are healthy, the next 10 days or whatever it is we've got, it can really get them drilled and get them fit and get them hungry, you know, because we need to pick these points up.
Yeah, you're right. I agree with that. I think it's, you know, very, very difficult to, you know, really be too critical, although I want to be, you know, because it's another 2 points drop. But And you just don't know how bad some of these players have had this, you know, it's affected a lot more than sport, hasn't it? And, you know, the kind of priority is health and safety of the players. So, you know, we'll go into the game. So we had the first chance of the game through a free kick. Charlie Wyke probably should have done better from a free kick. Mal, really, really good ball over. Should be hitting the target there, you know, 3 out of 6 yards out.
I agree, yeah. He had another chance in the second half as well, which I'm sure we'll come on to. But again, you know, rustiness. I'm not convinced by Charlie Wyke in the air, to be totally honest, you know. And I don't think he bosses aerial challenges as much as his reputation and his stature suggests he should. But yeah, he's got to put that on target. He's got to exercise the goalkeeper, and he didn't. And in a game of very few chances, and I'm not giving them excuses, but the pitch did look bloody bobbly as well. You know, it was pretty messy pitch. He's got to do something with that, and he didn't. So disappointing. But yeah, the minimum he's got to do is work the goalie a bit, and he didn't, unfortunately for them.
Yeah, it did look like now that was going to be our only way of scoring today for the entirety was set pieces, wasn't it? Because we couldn't play our free-flowing stuff like we showed against Lincoln, probably down to the pitch, but also down to our final ball was pretty pathetic.
Yeah, mate, it looked like, if we were going to win that game, it would have been the ball was just going to drop in the right place, wasn't it? It was going to be, you know, I don't think it was going to be after, a free-flowing move, which we got in the final third after a lovely few passes and then you know, put the ball in the back of an empty net. It was never going to be like that, was it? It was always, as you say, set piece or, you know, a lucky penalty or something like that to win that game. Because, yeah, I mean, to be honest, I just feel like I'm repeating myself because, like I just said before, there just wasn't enough energy in the lads today. But I do give them the benefit on the doubt on that. And it's as simple as that. You know, I understand it. I see, like, as you touched on, we don't actually know who's had the virus. We don't know who's been ill. But judging from that today, that was not a fully fit squad. And as Mal touched on, they probably started training on Wednesday. So, yeah, that, you know, as I said before, again, repeat myself, but I find it pretty impressive that they managed to come out of it with a point. But yeah, certainly if we were going to score, it was going to be from a set piece, something to just drop our way or a bit of magic. But unfortunately, the magic wasn't there today.
Yeah, I want to talk about the referee for a little bit. I mean, we haven't really gone into League One standard refereeing this season because, to be honest, I think as a whole, the standards kind of improved this year from what I've seen. It hasn't been anywhere near as bad until today. So Lee Doughty, the referee, I mean, he books Charlie Wyke for, you know, the goalkeeper blasting the ball out and hits Wyke in the back. Wyke gets a yellow card. Around about 5 minutes later, Josh Scone gets cleaned out on the halfway line, which is a really bad tackle. No booking, no nothing. I mean, I think Grant Lebbitt nearly gets booked for dissent. Mm-hmm. And then around about 5 minutes after that, Lee Burge clears the ball, you know, from the goal kick out, hits their player. They nearly score from it. You know, they tried to chip Lee Burge. It goes out for a goal kick and the referee doesn't give anything. I mean, what on earth was going on there, Mal?
Yeah. I don't know if I agree that refs are better this year, and I think we've just seen a lot less games by now.
Possibly.
We haven't had as much chance to experience the shite, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He was inconsistent. And you've got to expect a little bit of that at this level. But when you've got two challenges very similar to each other, White's getting a yellow card and their attacker didn't get a yellow card, seemingly because he half ducked. You know, he was still way too close to the goalie.
He knew what he was doing.
It's
he
ridiculous.
Knew exactly what he was doing.
You know, and I'm just pleased, you know, the lads didn't let it boil over, because it's easy in frustrating situations like that, that, you know, people can get a bit lippy. And a couple of them, you know, Scowen was already on a yellow. Obviously, White was. And, you know, the situation could have got quite ugly, but I'm not sure if there's any point really complaining about it, because they're just going to be like that. They're just bloody awful.
Yeah.
And the ref has to kind of give a couple of things our way eventually, you know, from a poor decision in our benefit or something. So yeah, but it's, for me, we've just played less football, so there's been less bollocks ref decisions. It's as simple as that.
He did give us a kind of a big talking point just towards the end of the first half when one of the lads ran through and got taken. Well, did he get taken down by Lee Burge or not? He got given a yellow card for diving. Yeah. Now, did you think that was the correct decision?
Of course, Burge doesn't move. If you see, he's literally Burge. He doesn't move. He doesn't, you know, he's standing still. He's ran past him and then fell over. Burge has got his hands in the air. Nah, it was that was always a dive. And if you looked at the, you know, the forward, was it Adams? Might have been Adams, I don't know, for them. It looked like, you know, after he didn't complain to the referee, did he? He got his yellow card and sort of ran off. No. I think everybody knew that was a dive. It was the right decision. But as Malk says, yeah, we're right in the sense that we haven't seen them enough at all to kind of criticise as much as what we did last year or the year before. You know, it looks like, you know, the consistency in this league is the biggest fault with the referees. I mean, as you said, how can they give one thing for us, not give the other thing to Northampton? Every time that whistle blew, you seen him, it just felt like he was always pointing the Northampton way. Every single time, you know, there was 50-50s that were happening quite often and he was giving them to Northampton. And, it didn't make a lot of sense. You know, there was always that old rumour that the home team will get decisions like that because of the crowd. Well, there's no crowd there, so... it didn't really make much sense. Like I say, very inconsistent, a bit clueless. But yeah, I mean, luckily there's nothing happened which you know has costed a defeat. And I think obviously with that one with the goalkeeper, I think if they'd actually scored from that, then we would have been sitting here and feeling a lot more deflated than what we are. You know, it would have been absolutely furious by it. So, unfortunately, now we've got to just live with it because we are League One. That is where we are. That is, you know, the level we're at, and that is the referee, and we're going to get. And if the referees were any good, they'd probably be, you know, pulled up straight to the Championship or the Premier League because, you know, even they're struggling with referees. So, yeah, that's why we're left with the shite.
Might get a seat at Stockley Park, getting VAR all wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
So, we'll go on into the second half again. I mean, nothing much has happened, but a really, really good chance for Charlie Wagg off a corner. You know, it bubbles down to him. He's kind of fallen backwards, but manages to scoop it over the bar. I mean, you know, you get when we're not playing well, when teams aren't playing well, the good teams, when you get one chance, it goes in. And this is probably the problem with us. Even though Charlie's done relatively well all season, you need him to score them goals, don't we? Because that was the one chance.
Yeah, I agree. And he was, you know, in his credit, the defender was, you know, making it as difficult as he possibly could. You know, he was kind of all over him and they were manhandling each other. I'm not suggesting it was a penalty because I don't think it was, but, you know, they were proper mixing it up and he was falling backwards as he stuck his leg out at the ball. You know, sometimes they go in and we would have been over the moon. Sometimes they don't, and that one would have been a better rugby conversion than a shot on goal, I think, because it went in at Rosehead, I think, if Rosehead exists at Northampton Town.
I don't think they've got a Rosehead. Maybe a Rogier. Yeah. I think.
but yeah, I mean, like you say, when things are going your way, you win ugly with goals like that. But he's had a go. Can't criticise the lad. Just didn't have the rub of the green on top of the challenges we've already talked about.
I was surprised that it was. I thought it was offside or it was a foul or something because everyone. It just seemed like everyone stopped and it looked like he had so much space and then as you say he kind of fell down. I just thought that's been blown up for something. I was really surprised afterwards when it wasn't.
Even the commentary stopped, didn't it? Like the Frankie and Danny even stopped because it was just. I think everyone thought it had been given.
Yeah,
a foul.
It was a confusing one, wasn't it? But as Malk said, it. There was stuff going on in that box. He's fallen over it. You know, he's getting under it and he's called Charlie Wake, so we can't really blame him too much.
I mean, and like I say, that's probably it for the whole game. I mean, you know, we're literally struggling to think of anything else, so we might as well go on to the player ratings. You know, as we'll start the new year, as how we ended the last year, is me rating Lee Burge and me probably rating Lee Burge as a 6. I'm basing it on, kept a clean sheet, did everything that was asked of him, which wasn't much, but again, I think he's just looking as if he's our number one goalkeeper now, which I know there's not that much competition in Remy Matthews, but he is doing his job relatively well now, so, you know, fair play to him. Got nothing more to say about that one. We'll go on to Conor McLaughlin, Niall. I mean, you've spoken off air. I think you've got quite a consistent mark for every player, so we'll start you off with Conor McLaughlin.
I think mine are going to be quite controversial. I might get a bit of stick tomorrow for mine.
Ah, you're used to it by now. Ah,
that's true. How different they are. Yeah, I gave Conor McLaughlin a 5. You also said something off air, which I agree with, in the fact that you see him as more of an inside sort of centre-half, a right-sided centre-half. I agree with that. I think he's better off there as well. I don't believe he's got the pace to play right-back. But yeah, I don't think he did too much wrong. I don't think he did too much right. So I'm going to give him a number 5. He was just solid in the middle.
Yeah, he's just not attacking enough for me, for a right back. He's just an attack. But that's not his fault. It's just, you know, he's a defender. So, you know, it is what it is with him. We'll go on to a lad who's not a left back, Mal, but did very well, I thought, Deion Sanderson.
Yeah, Sanderson was one of the better showings today for the team in a difficult and pretty flat game, as we said. You know, he won the ball in the air a fair bit. He's confident on the ball, even though the pitch was a bit bobbly. He's playing out of position. You know, he played a few decent through balls and passes, whereas some of the other lads at the back played too many long balls for me, and they were a bit aimless and inaccurate, you know. So I actually gave Sanderson a 7. I thought he was definitely worthwhile of a 6 as an average performance, but he had a little bit more than the two wide players at the back. So, you know, he had a good showing, and I'm hoping that little kind of demonstration of what he can do even when out of position gives him a better run of games in the side, because I think he's worth a chance compared to some of the other players we've got in that back four at the minute. Where we put him and what's ideal, I'm not sure. I would have put him right back because I think he has got the pace that McLaughlin hasn't. But you know, yeah, a good showing and a solid 7 for me. You might think that's a bit generous, guys, but I think that's what he deserved.
No. Adam is a 6, but 7, I'm not going to disagree with it, to be honest. Bailey Wright, again, I mean, my marks might be consistent as well, but I've got a 6 for him. Thought he dealt with their striker Searle relatively well. Won majority of the headers that game his way. You know, looked steady again. And we'll move on to Tom Flanagan, Niall.
Yeah, I think you'll be surprised by this. I've gone for a 5. I think he was, again, all right. You know, he was... The thing is with Tom Flanagan, I like Flanagan. I think he's versatile. I think he looks like a danger from set pieces as well. And he has scored a few for us. So I do like Tom Flanagan, but I think the day going forward, he never really looked much of a threat. And I think at the back, he did his job. He did it sufficiently. Northampton didn't really have much going forward. So it's hard to kind of say, you know, it was one of them clean sheets where everyone, you know, backs to the wall and everyone's put 100% in, because it wasn't like that. But it was still, for me, Tom Flanagan is just... like exactly the same I said about McLaughlin. He didn't do too much right and didn't do too much wrong either. So yeah, it's just a number 5.
Yeah, and we'll go to Grant Leadbitter, man.
I thought Grant had an okay game, but I don't think he bossed the midfield enough. Games like that where, you know, I think Northampton tactically made a good decision by playing kind of, I think they were 3-5-2 or 3-5-1-1, something like that.
They tried to match our midfield.
They tried to flood the midfield so that we couldn't play through with them with the football that Johnson clearly likes to try and play. And in that situation, I think Leadbitter's got to get either beyond that line of 5 or stay tight to the back four and try and boss that midfield and run it a bit better. But we were allowing them to press us too much, especially in the early phases where Northampton looked quite tidy. I gave the man Leadbitter a 6 in the first half, but I only gave him a 5 in the second half because I think he dropped off. I don't know if he's been poorly with the COVID thing. I don't know. So I'll give him a 5.5 if we can do some decimals this week just to stop Niall from giving everybody 5s. Again, you know, he was below his own capability. But we don't know what factors are related to that. So, yeah, 5.5 for me for Big Grant. And well done to him for goal of the month, by the way. He deserved that by a country mile.
Yeah, congratulations, Grant Leadbitter. Yeah, fantastic. I'm going to join the 5 club here because I've got Josh Scone as a 5 and he nearly got lower, to be honest. I just don't rate Scone that much, I must admit. I know a lot of lads on our WhatsApp group do, but for me, he's just... He doesn't do enough as he's the attacking part of our midfield. I think in the first half there was McGeady, he put a wonderful cross over, and he just didn't want or
he didn't
had
attack
to,
it, did he?
I didn't even want, or he didn't have the knowledge to attack that. If that had been anybody else, that had been, say, you know, Wyke possibly would have attacked that. And I also thought he was looking to stay on the pitch because he got a yellow card and then gave a free kick away, which was another yellow card offence. It was, you know, it was poor. So I'll give him a 5, and I thought he was looking to stay on the pitch, to be honest. But we'll move on to the now very clean shaven all over on top. Max power, Niall.
Yeah, I loved it. What a look. I love that. He looked
hard,
he looked
at least.
Hard
didn't he?
As nails. He looked
fresh out of the Borstal, didn't he?
Absolutely hard as nails. I'll never forget, Ant, the first time I met you in person, you actually said to us, "How does Conor Bromley have a brother that looks so hard?" And that was the fact that I had a shaven head. So I'm same with him. You know, he just looked nails in there. Yeah, you'll be shocked by the score I've given him again. It's, you know, I think it will turn up a few heads. So I've given him a 5. I thought he was again just average. Again, I want him to get forward more. Just didn't want to make them runs. I don't know. As Malcolm touched on before with Ledbetter, I don't know. We don't know who's had the virus. I don't know if he has, but today he looked leggy. He looked leggy from the off. You know, he wasn't chasing balls down like he normally does. He wasn't. You know, getting back as quick. So yeah, he was pretty non-existent. And you know, for me, apart from the fact he looked like he wanted to kill everybody, you know, that was it really. So yeah, a number 5 for him. But I do like Max Power as a footballer. I think he's a good player, and I like his heart. I think he does put everything into it. So for me, if today with that performance, there's a reason behind it, and I reckon he's just not fit. He's not as fit as what he normally is, and that's what I'll put it down to, because I do think normally he's one of them players that, you know, you can tell he's passionate, and he, you know, he might have bad games, he might have off games, but I would never criticise his work rate, whereas today I am.
Yeah, fair enough. We'll go on to Jack Diamond, Malk. Yeah, looked off to me.
Yeah, what did I give Jack? Bless him. Yeah, I thought he had a really quiet first half. I think their man marked him out of the game quite well, which is a little bit concerning, because I think that was the same situation, the game against AFC Wimbledon before the COVID break. You know, people are starting to overload one side knowing that he's going to have a go. And, you know, he had a really quiet first half. Second half, before he went off, I thought again, you know, he seems to be taking the ball too static. So that's partially not his fault. He needs to be, you know, fed in behind to break them up. So it's not all down to him. I gave him a 5 in both halves, which is a bad score for young Diamond, because he's a star player on any given day of the week. But I think the combination of the congested midfield and the lack of precision final passes meant that he just didn't get them turned and didn't get them on the back foot. He did a couple of times. He wasn't as lackadaisical as some of the players today. But yeah, not his best showing, so 5 for me.
I think as well, you've got with Diamond, because he is still very young and he hasn't played that much football, you've got to expect sometimes these games will happen from him, you know, because it's inexperience, isn't it? But, you know, hopefully he can improve on that one, because he wasn't great.
He was having a go, though, to be fair, and now and again, he was having a go.
Fair play.
And we don't want him to stop doing that, because he's, you know, that's what we need out of people like him. We need them to take people on, because they can beat them. But yeah. Not his best game, but not his worst.
Yeah, I agree. I've gone Aidan McGeady. I want to go 4, but because he did put 3 or 4 really good crosses in, which we didn't have anybody else on the end, I did lift him up to a 5 just before he got subbed off. But I just thought he wasn't, I just didn't think he got into the game as much as what he should have done. But again, we don't know. He missed the Wimbledon game, so we're thinking he possibly is one of the ones who contracted the virus. So, you know, I'll probably let him off with a 5. We'll move on to Charlie Wyke, Mr. Bromley.
I've given him
no guesses.
I've given him a 10. I thought he was...
What, 5 for each half?
it was like watching Dennis Bergkamp. It really was. But yeah, so I've given him a 5. Yeah, he missed that golden
chance. Watching Les Dennis, not man Dennis Bergkamp.
you've thrown us with that. You've totally thrown us off course with that. I'm just thinking Les Dennis playing up front for Sunderland. Aye. but, no, he was, yeah, As Malk said, in the air, not enough. Missed the golden chance. You know, it came to him, and I think he thought that it was offside or something as well. It was a little bit of confusion, but he still should be putting them in the back of the net as a forward. You know, his instincts, it should have been a goal. But yeah, it's, you know, he didn't have that much service today. There wasn't anything really today. So yeah, I think it's harsh to give him any lower than the 5, but I certainly wouldn't be giving him any higher. So yeah, it's an average, bang average number 5 for Charlie White.
Yeah, no worries. I'll just quickly rattle off all the substitutions because I've given all of them a 5. Chris Maguire, Linda Gooch, Ian O'Brien. Yeah, all 5s. I actually thought O'Brien did a lot better than what he has been doing recently when he came on. So I thought he did a really good run towards the end, but we're seeing Adrian Brown's in a really good run, pretty sure sums up his Sunderland career. The other two, I just don't think affected the game at all, which is what we were hoping for. I will see, and we'll probably get onto this actually with the rate of the manager, I do think the sub should have been made a little bit earlier, but, you know, like I say, we'll get onto that. We'll have a quick man of the match from each of you. We'll start with Malk.
I think I would have to give it to young Sanderson. I think he was the most promising player in the back. He got forward when he could. He made less mistakes. I mean, Flanagan hoofed it out straight to touch a couple of times that really wound me up, or did long balls that were never going to come off. So him and Wright were the strongest defensive players for me. But yeah, I'd give it to Sanderson. And like I said earlier, I hope he gets a bit more of a run in the team because he certainly deserves it. And we need to give the lad a chance to see whether he's worth extending his loan or even considering, you know, bring him on board fully if there's scope to do that in the agreement. But yeah, Sanderson for me, I think he was Sanderson. One of the best on the park.
Yep, no worries, Niall.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, Sanderson. You know, I think he tried to improvise a bit as well, which was nice to see. You know, he had that shot. Yeah, it did go into Rogier, as you said. But, you know, at least he's having a go. You know, he realised that, there was no energy. There was no getting forward. It's best off to take the shot on. And there was a couple of chances as well. He tried a couple of crosses into the box as well, which was nice to see. And as Mark touched on earlier, he was strong. He was, you know, he won virtually everything in the air. He was the one sort of half shining bright light today, I think, for Sunderland. And I'd be very surprised if anyone else was to give anyone else the man of the match, because I think he was the only one that showed a bit of promise for us today.
Clean sweep, Deion Sanderson, like literally what you've all just said. So we'll go on to rate the manager with I've gone for a 5 with him. Just going nice and average. Just the one thing, I wish he made his subs earlier, Lee Johnson, but that I've got no more. I kind of, like I said, I just can't criticise it too much because we don't know what's going on. So, Niall, have you gone 5 again by any chance?
Well, I mean, I didn't actually rate him during the game because I totally forgot about it. So I'm going to change it up just because to make sure it's not a clean sweep of 5. So I'm going to give him a 5. it's a 5. He was just, yeah. As you say, you have no idea what's been going on at that club. He's had to play a team that didn't look fit, didn't look match fit, didn't look ready, but still looked organised. So I find it hard to criticise him. But as I say, we have no idea what's gone on behind closed doors. And he's had a lot to deal with, so yeah, it's just a straight down the middle, number 5.
Finish it up, Mal.
Yeah, I feel harsh giving him a 5, so I might give him a 6. And the reason I'm shading between the two is we really don't know how bad that squad was with respect to health and readiness for the match. And we're talking about bring the subs on earlier, but who knows, there might have only been the 2 or 3 that we brought on that were actually fit enough to come on, if you know what I mean. Because of the potential impacts of the health. For instance, I think the game was crying out for Embleton to come on for Scowen, both to take Scowen out of a danger of a red card because he was really lucky just on half-time not to go off, as you touched on, Ant. But also so that there's somebody in the middle of the park driving through the static lines that they were putting out because, you know, Scowen wasn't doing that very effectively. As we've touched on, Power wasn't either. So I'm going to give him a 6, giving him the benefit of the doubt of what he had to play with, and he might not have been able to put subs on any earlier because half of them probably couldn't breathe properly. But, you know, good luck to them getting better over the next couple of weeks for the next game. And hopefully this is, you know, 2 points out of 6, fair enough. It could have easily been 0 points out of 6 and it wasn't. So yeah, we just try and get back on the bus in 10 days' time or whatever it is in the cup games.
Yeah, fair play, and we'll finish that off on that. Very just quickly from all of us here at Rope Report, we would like to thank every single fan or follower or whatever who has donated or shared the Soup Kitchen fundraiser that we did. We raised $31,635, which
unbelievable.
Is
unbelievable.
Just, scary, man,
what an
blown
effort.
Away.
What an effort.
You know, we're blown away by your generosity. Thank you so much. And, you know, we're doing another one this month as well. A few of us have got together. We're going to do the 542 miles to the Stadium of Light at Wembley. Some of us are walking, some of us are running. I'm especially walking at the minute because I broke my foot in December, so I'm trying my best to walk. So we're doing that for the Calm charity. So same again, if you can, you know, like or donate, we'd really, really appreciate that. Yeah, and we will be back, as we touched on, in 10 days' time. So take care of yourselves, stay safe, happy new year, and we'll speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.